Yes, all right. G'day, viewers. Welcome to the Tripod Live Show with Winnie and Clarky. We're with you for the next hour here to preview everything round seven this NRL season. We're going to give our best bets, get through all the games. We've got some top sport try scorers, mixed matchups, and more. Before we get to that, let me welcome in my co-host, Winnie. How are you going, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Always scrambling to try and get on our box and get and going at 6:30 exactly. And my first mistake, that's on me, that graphic popped up and said we're doing the recap. I wish we had a crystal ball. Hopefully we do. There's four best bets to share. But, of course, it is the preview to round seven. In round six, we had a losing round of our best bets, just 1 and 2, including the worst of the season, Manly blown out. So we're 56% winners on best bets. We are 67% winners on mixed matchups, which continued last week, getting a nice high-scoring winner. And they're at underdog price every week. We lost the multi and there was no take on Toppy, but don't worry, guys. You're going to get double the fun this week.
Yeah, absolutely. They are going to get double the fun. With that in mind, guys, let's get to our best bets for round seven. So the best bets are presented by Lana Trady Software. Never miss a call again. Convert more quotes and spend less on marketing with their powerful automation software. Check out their website and you can book in a free consult. If you're a tradie or business owner, Lana is your best bet. Thank you to Lana. Let's roll back the curtains, Winnie. Let us know our round seven best bets.
I got four to share. Hopefully they come up. Doesn't seem to want to come up on the screen for me. Hold on. Might have to take away this video. There we go. Roosters -2 at $1.95 on Top Sport against the Sharks. I think they're the superior side, particularly the forward battle is where I think they win it. And of course, Teddy comes back, which bolsters the whole back line. Then I'm going the Cowboys. I would tip them to edge New Zealand. That'll be a beauty on Saturday, but I'll take the plus half a point first half because I feel like I've got a coin flip game that can go my way, but I can win if it's tied at halftime. And it could be low scoring, two good defensive teams this year. I'm taking your Titans, Clarky, plus 10.5 in the M1 Derby. Look, I know Brisbane's going to want to bounce back and I expect they'll probably win, but I think the Titans have enough to mix it up with the Broncos here. I couldn't justify a double-digit line. They got a morale-boosting win last week too. And then I'm going to lay the chalk -8 with Parramatta against the Bulldogs, where I think this will be the first week that Parramatta actually builds a lead and then builds on it and actually extends it, unlike so far this season where they've had three narrow losses and two wins by score margins of 1 and 2. Or they did beat the Tigers in the end by 6, sorry, but they were up too late. But I think they'll finally get a comprehensive win with Junior Barlow back and the Dogs still with a few key troops out. What do you think of those at first glance?
Mate, you know my favorite best bet there, the Titans. That's the best one there. The Roosters one's going to be real interesting because we know Robinson knows Fitzy's game inside and out. He's taught him a lot. So potentially a bit of value about that there. All great best bets. Let's get into the games for the round. We open with the Dolphins v Rabbitohs. It's at Suncorp Stadium. The line is set at -11.5 in the Bunnies' favor. For the Dolphins, Jesse Bromwich returns at prop. Jared Wallace is out, so JJ Collins comes onto the bench. And a change on the wing, Robert Jennings out. In, Edric Lee out. For the Rabbitohs, their wings shift as well. It's AJ making his return. And a big one, Jai Arrow's in. Tavita Tola ruled out with that knee injury. Both sides coming off impressive victories, Winnie, in different circumstances. We know you're a big Dolphins fan. Who do you like here?
Well, I think the Rabbitohs will win this one. I'll be completely honest. I was close to making the Rabbitohs a best bet as well. So if you're out there and you do like them, -11.5 is probably not a bad bet. As you said, with the guys that are coming back in, you could actually say both these sides had the two most impressive wins of round six, and they're both getting a key prop back, although Totola will also miss for the Rabbitohs. But again, for the Dolphins to get that victory up there last week in Townsville as double-digit underdogs and with Bromwich, a late withdrawal, was monumental. And he, of course, will be back now, their captain. But I can't go past the Rabbitohs at this point in the season. When I look at them, they could be the best team in the competition right now. When you consider the tough draw they've navigated while being thin on forwards, and they're closer to full strength now with Arrow returning. And sometimes when a team gets an easy win, that soft kill, it really helps them click into gear and it doesn't spend much petrol and it's going to allow them to perhaps bring their best form up to Suncorp. Whether or not to lay the 10.5, 11.5, that's what was just a sticking point for me. And as I said, I was close. This is the same line virtually that the Dolphins head start they were getting against Brisbane and against the Cowboys. Of course, they covered on each occasion. We saw Marshall King was a big inclusion for the Dolphins last week. And then, and you know, Hammer has been so dynamic and been unreal. But I still go back to the fact I just can't see a lot of points coming out of this Dolphins side with Nikorima and Katoa in the halves, where I know that Souths have got points in them and probably will trouble the Dolphins every bit as much as the Cowboys did and more. So it's very close to being a best bet for me. I guess you mentioned another matchup there, the Sharks-Roosters. You got kind of the master versus the apprentice coach. It's the same deal here. And Bennett is going to know Demetrio's game plan as well. So, but that can go both ways because I'm sure Demetrio doesn't want to let this one slip, knowing that he has got the much stronger roster. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm going to tip Bunnies as well. I look at that line and I wonder if you could get -9.5 for Bunnies, would you be keen on that as a best bet? Is it just the double digits kind of turning you off?
I literally had that in my notes. When I handicapped this game, I said if I can find 9.5, it'd be a best bet. So that's kind of how borderline I was with the way I see it.
Yeah, the interesting thing for this one is I do wonder as well, because the Bunnies absolutely blew past the Bulldogs, do we overestimate that or do we underestimate it? Because you can kind of look at it two ways, right? Is it the Doggies were off, they were missing troops, they had an unlucky sin bin, that's why the Bunnies rolled them? Or is it simply the Bunnies rolled them, they're going to take confidence from it and they're not going to be too banged up and sore for this one? I do expect this Dolphins forward pack will provide a fair bit more resistance than what the Bulldogs one did last week. In turn, I speak about this most weeks, I do think that'll limit Latrell and Cody Walker. But regardless, I've still got to tip the Bunnies here. They're a big favorite, as you can see. I think it makes sense. The Dolphins have rarely let us down this year. There's only been the one game against the Dragons. And we talk about the Dolphins having these little mental edges. And, you know, we spoke about their first home game, their first at Redcliffe, their first in the NRL, their first against the Broncos. Well, it's Wayne Bennett's first game against the guy who he taught a lot to, being Jason Demetrio. Is that another mental edge for the Dolphins? It could be an omen if you're a Dolphins fan. I do go the way of Jason Demetrio. I think he'll fire this Bunny side up. I think he'll have him ready against his former mentor. One matchup I can't go past Winnie is Latrell versus the Hammer. Not only because they're both elite fullbacks in this competition, but I do believe they could match up in origin in the centers as well, potentially a little bit more. And I mean, you go through these 17s, Winnie, another matchup I love, Tom Gilbert and Cameron Murray, two absolute beasts in the middle there. For the stats for this one, Winnie, it tells us that Wayne Bennett has won his last 7 games straight against the Bunnies. Cody Walker has scored 4 tries in his past 3. You guys know I love Alex Johnson for any time try scorer. He's got 11 in his past 9 at Suncorp. And one that you'll love, if the Hammer scores, he breaks the NRL all-time record for the most tries scored in consecutive games since joining a new club. No one's ever scored 7 consecutive weeks in a new club. One more for this one as well. The take on Toppy market for this one. Every week, Top Sports give us some great odds on an anytime try scorer. I've got Campbell Graham at $2.60 here. I'm really excited about this bet here. Campbell Graham was awesome last round, scored the hat trick. He's been in every single game this year, Winnie. And my personal view is he's probably going to push for a swap in the Blues side. Would you agree with that?
He's definitely in the mix with Adokar out. I don't know if he'd be in my team yet, but he hasn't done much wrong. And obviously coming off a Kangaroos tour and scored 3 last week. You only need him to get 1 in this. So I can't argue with that.
Absolutely. All right. So we're both with the Bunnies here. We move on to the Friday 6 p.m. game. It's the Sharks versus the Roosters at PointsBet Stadium. The line is set at -2 in the Roosters' favour. For the Sharkies, Wade Graham and Oregon Carfusi are in. Finucan and Toby Rudolph are out. Tom Hazelton comes in for Braden Trindle there, Winnie. So maybe a bit of a deliberate tactic there to load the bench with middle forwards. For the Roosters, a big inclusion here. You can't understate this one. Teddy's in. That moves Manu to centres. Drew Hutchinson to the bench. Turpin out. And another big inclusion, Matty Lodge returns for the Roosters. I know they're one of your best bets, so maybe a chance to elaborate a little bit further on that one.
This looks like a great game for the early Friday clash for sure. And there are reasons to support Cronulla. They're at home, they're off a bye, and they're off a sobering defeat when they led 20-0 last time they played at home. And in fact, 20-0, I think it was at least 20-0, if not 22 or 24-0, was the scoreline at halftime the last time these sides met in Cronulla. The corresponding fixture last season, the Roosters were leading that one and went on to a very comprehensive victory. So I know the Sharks remember that, but the Roosters are off a humbling defeat as well, where they were reminded by a very strong Melbourne Storm side that if they're not on their game, they'll be well beaten by anybody. And in the game last week, perhaps I underestimated the loss of Teddy because I just looked at the ability to bring in Manu. But what I know for sure is now you bring Teddy back in and you don't lose Manu. You shift Manu to his, you know, more natural position as well. And you just have this mouth-watering matchups in the outside backs, but with particularly what I'm looking at, Swali'i on the left and Manu on the right and Teddy roaming in behind. I do think that's edge Roosters, as is the forward pack, as I said before. And you mentioned like Lodge comes in, so now I feel like you've got an awesome triumvirate or three-prop rotation with Warrior, Hargraves, Collins, another guy I think has to play Origin this year, and then Lodge off the bench, and Smith will scoot off quick play the balls. And the guy that's been in the news for the wrong reason, I think Victor Radley is going to have a best on ground or near to it performance as well, because he feels like he potentially cost his team last week. And you mentioned, I can't remember if you mentioned, because I'm half thinking about what I'm going to say, but Dalvin Nukin and Toby Rudolph are two key middles that are out for Cronulla. So there's enough reasons there for me to lay the small line with Sydney City Roosters.
You know what? I've got a few crazy tips this round. This one isn't my craziest, but I am going to go the Sharks. It's one of those tips where it's just a gut feeling thing. There's so many reasons why they won't win that I think they will. Looking at this game logically, I absolutely agree with your best bet. The Sharks have not defeated the Roosters at points bet since 2016, and they've won their last seven straight against the Sharks. They're looking for eight in a row here at a home ground where the Sharks haven't beat them for 7 years. There's a lot of history going against the Sharkies here. I'm going to go them by a very slight margin. I do think the bye last round for them helps against a Rooster side that didn't necessarily play like a grueling game in Melbourne, but there is the travel and it was somewhat of a tough 80 minutes there. For the Sharks, I really think they exploded out of the blocks against the Warriors. I don't think they can quite do that against the Roosters, but I certainly don't think they'll be as poor as they were against the Warriors, where they really made those errors, let the Warriors back into the game, and in the end, the Warriors got over the top of them. I do think they're a smart enough footy side with an experienced spine that they're not going to allow that to happen. But in saying that, both these coaches know each other's games very well. You'd have to argue Robinson has the advantage there, as he's sort of a master, Fitzy in this case, the apprentice. But look, with Teddy coming back, of course, it's really difficult to tip against the Roosters, right? I think it's a great best bet. Maybe I'm a little bit crazy. But yeah, Ronaldo Mulitalo, try scoring option here. Winnie, he's got 16 tries and he's plus 16 at points bet. Always a great one out there in the wing. And Teddy, he scored a try in his last three games at this stadium as well. Somewhat fresh coming back off a 1 week layoff. So two options there to consider for an anytime try scorer. Don't forget, for this next game here, this is our Better Same Game Multi. Better helps make this show possible, as well as the Fox League Lab, which you can watch on their Better YouTube channel to get even more NRL analysis. This week, it's all about big matchups with the panel going deep into the Dolphins Rabbitohs, Seagulls Storm, and Titans Broncos game. You can sign up to Better using the link in our show description right now and prepare for our same game multi. This year, we've hit two from six, with both having $7 plus odds. Just remember to keep it real and ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website. Both are on screen and in the description of this video if you're listening to the podcast as well. And of course, it is the Manly Seagulls up against the Melbourne Storm at Four Pines Park. The line is set at -4.5 in Storm's favour. The Battle of Brookie Winnie. This is always a great contest. For Manly, Ruben Garrick's out, so Raymond Tuimalo-Vega comes onto the wing. Carl Lawton's out. Aaron Woods, named for his club debut. Tolfo Fowler-Sipley is in with Sean Kepi out. And Josh Schuster's named in reserves. Could come in late, but not confirmed just yet. For the Storm, I love this change. Munster to fullback. Pezzett to 5'8". Unfortunately, Nick Manny out with a head injury. This one should be a cracker, shouldn't it, Winnie?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about how we've been talking about the best rivalries in the game. This one used to be right up there. You mentioned probably why Battle of Brookie and how strong these sides were. Not so much Manly in recent years. Maybe that's why it's lost a little bit of the pizzazz. Whereas the Storm, and the question's there about whether the Storm at full fit are the best side in the competition, 1-13. You know what? They do look like a top four side, contrary to my preseason prediction. And I think it's off the back of the form of their two best players in Harry Grant and Cam Munster. I would pose the question to you, Clarkie, and to our followers. Who's the best duo in the game right now? Who's the best pair of teammates, if you could have any, on their current form? I'm going Grant and Munster, but maybe, you know, it's hard to argue with Cleary and Edwards or Latrell and Cody Walker in the game we just talked about for Thursday night. But what's impressed me so much about Melbourne is they overcame those losses of players and those bad losses in those, you know, memorable games, obviously at home to the Bulldogs, and then they lost to your Titans. But of course, Munster was out. And on top of the players that they've lost with injury or suspension, they had a significant squad overhaul. And now they've come back and beaten what I would consider top four caliber sides in the last 2 weeks in Souths and Roosters and knocked them both off as underdogs. So you've got to respect what the Storm have been able to do. And of course, this week I know that Munster is at one, but for me, I don't downgrade the Storm at all, switching him to fullback, because last year, even when Meaney was in the side, they still felt for their run through to the finals, they were a better chance with Munster at fullback. They know that he's every bit as effective there. And we've seen glimpses from Pezzett. So you get to bring him into the halves as well. That's how impressed I've been with the Storm. But now I've been quite disappointed with Manly, particularly last week when they were my best bet and they got blown off the park. But you go back a week earlier, I wasn't on them, but they were disappointing as 10-point double-digit favourites against the Knights in Mudgee, and you know, and did lead that game 10-0 and blew that as well and couldn't get the win. So, you know, listen to our recaps, and particularly last week, I gave my scathing review of Manly. So I'm not going to, you know, rehash that, but you brought up the biggest issue of all, which was Turbo playing clearly hampered. Why they played him at all, I don't know. And why they needled him up and sent him back out at halftime, 32-0 down, you know, is almost gross negligence. Like, just let... send him straight to the Dolphins if that's how you're going to take care of him, honestly. I can't believe that. And Seabold said he didn't even know that there was an issue until halftime. Anyway, I only bring this all up again, not to relive it, but to ask the question, is he 100% this week? How do we know? Because it might surprise people, but if I knew Turbo was 100% this week, I would actually back Manly with this start because they are at home and because I think they could pull off a Canberra-esque bounce back after a Panthers pounding. But I'm not sure about Turbo. This isn't a one-off. You know, you've always got to be worried about him. And even when he's out there playing looking good, you're worried every tackle. And I look at the rest of the Manly backline with, you know, characters like Saab, Parker, Harper, Vega, throw in Cooper Johns at six. I'm sorry, but if Turbo's not himself, where are these points going to come from? DC is going to have to be an absolute magician out there. And if Melbourne could hold the Roosters trialists for the final 70 last week, you know, where are the tries going to come from for Manly if Turbo's not on his game? Because I look at the rest of the matchup and I think it's a great forward battle. And so it just comes down to like star power. And the two stars I mentioned for Melbourne in Grant and Munster, I know what they're going to bring to the table. I'm unsure with Manly. So I think for that reason, Melbourne probably marches on here and why I've stayed away from it.
You know, I'm going to shock a lot of people with my tip for this game. So I'm going to, everyone take some deep breaths while I go over some stats before. Cameron Munster, he's won 10 of his last 12 at fullback. Last time he played fullback against Manly, the Storm beat them 40-6. So you're absolutely right. Him moving to fullback doesn't hurt them much at all. Question for our viewers at home. If Turbo's not at his best and he is somewhat hampered like he was against Penrith, do you select him in that blue centre role or do you go somewhere else? And on your point there where Turbo could be so integral to them scoring points, the Melbourne Storm know how to shut him down better than any team I've ever seen. In the 2021 season, I believe it was, he was genuinely unstoppable. Every game, multiple tries and try assists, one of the best individual seasons, dare I say the best I've ever seen, up there with 2012 Ben Barber. But the Melbourne Storm in that final game shut him down. He was a nil factor. So it's a great point you raised there.
And everyone, we had a best bet on Melbourne that night. I was actually at the ground. That one was at the Sunny Coast in that COVID season. So I remember that very well.
Yeah, and the way they did it was absolutely impressive. All right, everyone. Now everyone's taking those deep breaths. I'm going to tip Manly here. Purely, again, because it makes zero sense. And this exact thing has been happening every single round. Round one, Broncos beat Penrith. Round two, Bulldogs beat Storm. Round three, Warriors beat Cowboys. Round four, Eels beat Panthers. Round five, Warriors beat Sharks. Round six, Raiders beat Broncos. Round seven, Manly beat Storm. Every single round, there's just a freaky result that no one can see coming or tip. The only really way I can sort of even justify this tip, and I feel really crazy even trying to justify it, Raiders were thumped by Penrith last week. They rebounded and they beat the Brisbane Broncos, who were top of the ladder. Who was thumped by the Penrith last week? It was the Manly Seagulls. Can they do what the Raiders did? Come back, thump the Storm in the Battle of Brookvale. Stats don't think so. The Storm have won six of their last seven against Manly. And if you're looking for some try scorers, Jason Saab, he looked not too bad in his return from his ACL. He's got five tries in his last three against Storm. He could be where the points come from, Winnie. And Justin Olam, I always like him for a try too. Such a powerful ball runner. He's got 10 tries in his last seven against Manly. But overall, I mean, give it to me in the comments. It's a crazy tip, right, Winnie?
If I can be candid, it's not that crazy. You're kind of acting like it's revolutionary. I mean, they're $2.50 to win. They're a 4.5-point underdog. So that happens all the time. I could see it. I could totally see it. If Turbo is right and plays well in this game, I actually think it's a coin flip game. So in that case, Manly could definitely win. That's why I said I would play the plus 4.5 if I had confidence in Turbo. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of upsets. I mean, yeah, there's upsets every week. That doesn't like mean it's going to happen this week. That's how my analytical brain works. But what I will give you credit for, you've picked some of those upsets that you referred to, like Parramatta over the Panthers, Warriors over the Cowboys, yeah, just off the top of my head. So if you're feeling it, I respect that. I'm sure most people will be with the Storm, but I don't think a Seagulls win would be crazy. I just know it needs to have Turbo's fingerprints all over it.
$2.50, that's mental. I feel like New Zealand were bigger the odds than that to beat the Cowboys. Oh, yeah. And I was so much more confident on that tip.
New Zealand was more like $3.50.
Wow. Well, that's crazy odds to me. Before I say anything else, it's crazy. Let's move on to the Warriors versus Cowboys game after this. That's at Mount Smart Stadium. The line is set at minus, I think it's a pick'em game, isn't it?
It's a pick'em.
Here we go. For the Warriors, they're without Tamedi Martin, and that means Dylan Walker moves to 5'8". Wade Egan is out, so Freddie Lussick moves to hooker. Tohu Harris named again, but we're just not sure if he's 100% going to be there. For the Cowboys, some big inclusions. Jeremiah Nanai and Murray Taulagi return. So Griffin Neame and Brendan Elliott are out of this side. Pick 'em, Winnie. What do you got for me?
I would have to pick the Cowboys. It's another rematch. We've just talked about it. We referenced it. That's why I want to know who you're picking in this one for sure. But you picked the upset in Townsville a few weeks ago. However, Tamari Martin was quality in that game. Had a couple of try assists, if memory serves correct. He'll be missed in this one, as will Wade Egan, who's had a really good season. Now, Tohu Harris should be back, but when there's been a couple of false starts, I guess you can't be sure. While we do know the Cowboys will have a rep back rower returning in Jeremiah Nanai, along with Taulagi from injury, they're both off losses, both these sides, the Warriors and the Cowboys. In fact, the Cowboys are off back-to-back losses and have that revenge factor baked in, I think. So they're going to take this trip to New Zealand very serious. You got the two spine starters out for the Warriors. This is certainly why I look to the Cowboys' direction. Now, it wasn't a slam dunk pick for me because I've spoken on numerous occasions about this strong home advantage that the Warriors do enjoy. So you can't pick the away team just because you think they're a little bit better. The Warriors grow an extra leg at home in front of their Mount Smart faithful, that's for sure. However, I do still think the Cowboys are desperate. I give them not a pass, but one more chance to remedy this season with important troops back. And I actually think the conditions will factor in. With this being a day game, and I did check and there's no rain forecast, I look to the more explosive outside backs. I look at how Drinkwater did improve the attack. Dearden has looked having a good season. I mentioned Taulagi's back, and you got Holmes and even Nanai. I see that there's points in the Cowboys, even though I know New Zealand's defense is really sound, and I know that New Zealand will complete at a much higher rate than the Dolphins did last week. So what I think this game will come down to is, can the Cowboys defend their way to victory? And again, I think with that desperation and the fact that they can pull to 3-4 versus dropping to 2-5, I will back North Queensland. That my best bet was plus half a point in the first half, $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds, but I will also back that up with a mixed matchup. And you know I like the Roosters as a best bet, so we're going Roosters to outscore Warriors. I think the Roosters beat Cronulla, you know, Lions -2, but I think they beat them, you know, try plus. Whereas I think this is absolutely anybody's game, and I just favour the Cowboys. So I think the Roosters do it a bit better than the Warriors. I also think that the trademark of both the Warriors and Cowboys is high completion and sound defensively. At least that's what the Warriors have been this year, and that's what the Cowboys are desperate to rediscover. So my mixed matchup, which we're 4 from 6 this year, is paying $220 on Toppy. You can have up to $200 on that. I'll bring it up on the screen, of course, so you guys can have a look, but that'll be up on Toppy now. And again, I ask you guys to ask yourself the question too. If you do want to have a punt on this, please ask yourself what you're really gambling with. And for free and confidential advice, call the number on the screen or visit www.gamblinghelponline.org. What do you make of my mixed matchup, Clarkey? And who have you actually picked in this one?
I have picked the Cowboys, which doesn't quite make sense because I tipped the Warriors in Townsville. Now I'm going to pick the Cowboys in New Zealand. But as I said, this is a round where I am going some truly crazy picks. Well, not crazy, but maybe not conventional picks. Drinkwater is well and truly back for the Cowboys now. I don't have an exact stat on how much more points they average with him in their side, but I certainly know the returns of Nanai and Taulagi gives them a lot more attacking options with Drinkwater so involved in that side. If Tohu Harris is ruled out of this one late winning, it would depend on the grading of that MCL injury that he sustained. Typical grade one is about 2 weeks. They could err on the side of caution, even if it is a grade one, and sit him out for the third week, just to be sure. With him, they concede 14.5 points. Without him, they concede more than 30 so far this season. So I like to I don't like to think, that sounds wrong. I think if Tohu Harris was to be ruled out, then that certainly puts the Cowboys in a great spot here. I wanted to tip the Warriors in this one because I did pick them for the upset in Townsville, but I do have to go the way of the Cowboys in this one. The draw is an interesting one this year, Winnie. This is another game where these two sides have already played recently, and it will be very interesting when we get to later in the season and we can sort of look back and draw some data of how many of these teams do go 1-1 when they match up in a season quite early with each other. I know the Titans did it with the Dragons off the top of my head because they're my team. Ultimately, I'll sum it up with this. I still believe in this Warriors side more than I believe in the Cowboys side this year. But in this one, I do think without Wade Egan and without TMM, two players that are very integral to not only their spine, but their whole attack, might take a slight adjustment period. And that adjustment period, factored in with Tohu Harris potentially being ruled out, does lean me towards the Cowboys in this one. You mentioned Warriors' home record. They have won 3 of their last 4 in New Zealand. Marcelo Montoya, he's got 5 tries in his last 5 against the Cowboys. And Kyle Felt, now he was on a massive try-scoring drought recently when I think he hadn't scored in like 8 or 9 games in a row. He did score last round, and he does have good record against the Warriors where he scored 13 times in his last 12 games. But yeah, this one deserves to be a pick'em, right? It's going to be a very close matchup.
But just to add to your point about rematches, of course, there was another rematch last week, and it was the Warriors Knights. And the tables were turned. So yeah, the Warriors won in round 1 and then the Knights returned the favor last week. So that trend holds. That would bode well for the Cowboys. Certainly anytime it's a pick'em, there's no crazy pick there. You can make a case for either side, but we both make the case for the visitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be a great game. Then we go to McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights are hosting the back-to-back reigning premiers in the Penrith Panthers. The line, I believe this is the largest of the round. It's set at -15.5 in the Panthers' favour. For the Knights, Jaden Brayley out with that ACL injury. Horrible. I guess the silver lining is Tyson Gamble does return at 6. That allows Phoenix Crossland to move into hooker. For the Panthers, nil changes. This is a side that's been absolutely flying in the past fortnight, Winnie. Big margin, though. Can they cover it?
I'm not sure. So I haven't got a best bet either direction with the line where it is. Horrible news about Jaden Brayley. I said on the recap that I was relieved because the initial reports was it was believed to be a meniscus. Now it's obviously an ACL, which is heartbreaking for Jaden, for Knights fans. And then, you know, the heart goes out to someone like Adam Dewey as well, who had that season-ending injury for Tigers fans. The Tigers get some relief this week. They are on the bye. So I thought I'll mention them there too. But you hate to see it, you know, even though it is part of the sport. It's really sad to see. Look, long-term, that's a big hole to fill for Newcastle. This week, you know, does it matter? I feel like the writing's on the wall for the Knights. As good as they've been this year, they'll try and cover that position, the hooker position, with Crossland and Mann sharing that role. But whether there's a specialist option out there, I did actually say in our recap, you know, and you just mentioned that Jake Turpin's not playing first grade for the Roosters this week. I know they want to get their hands on Dom Young. Now that it's an all-year proposition, maybe there's a negotiation to be had there. In this game, I'm staying away for the following reasons: that the Knights are not a lame duck side. They've competed hard in every single game, 6 out of 6 this year, which is actually impressive. Not every team can say the same. Like, most teams have had at least one dud performance. When you get a line that's kind of over 2 converted tries and you want to play the favorite, like Penrith in this instance, you're looking for a side that might fold against them. And at Newcastle at home, I don't think that they're a good candidate for that. And although I still will definitely pick the Panthers to make it 3 on the trot, but I can just see Newcastle fighting hard and Penrith probably wins kind of 11 to 20. You know, I would even go as far to say that when they did their calculations, made their plan around bringing Caelan Ponga back in, you know, if this was a 50-50 game this week, you know, he's been back in the country for 10 days or something training, you know, is he playing? But when they looked at the schedule and saw it was Penrith, and knowing that he got a concussion against Penrith last year, they might have thought it's, you know, it's a smart decision for the long haul to keep him out one more week, because Caelan Ponga, the highest paid player in the NRL, is not going to be the difference, I don't think, with the form Penrith's in right now.
Yeah, the thing is, Penrith have absolutely destroyed the line the last 2 weeks. So I can't take them at -15.5. And although I'm definitely tipping them to win this game, I think that is a true sign of just how well the Knights actually are going. I'm going to start with a comment from Chris Metcalf, who says, do we need to start a GoFundMe for Clarkie to get AirPods? I do have AirPods. I chose to wear the gaming headset. Now you're playing on my insecurities a little bit. Do I need to switch to the AirPods? I'll leave that for the viewers to decide. So yeah, the Knights have really impressed me in the past fortnight, but the Panthers have impressed me more. I've got to be honest. Not only have they scored bulk points, they've only conceded the 2 tries in those last 2 games as well. You take a key member out of the Knights' spine in Jaden Brayley that was already missing a key member in Caelan Ponga. And I do think the Knights might struggle to score a little bit against this Penrith side. I know they've restored a lot of pride in their home ground so far this year. I do think they'll be very brave and at least match it with Penrith for the first 30, 40 minutes. But this is a Penrith side that was 32-0 last round. And ultimately, listening to them, the press conference and listening to the interviews full time, seemed like they're a little bit disappointed they didn't go on with it. So, I mean, part of me thinks the Panthers can go on with it. The other part of me says the Knights have been so good the last few weeks that they're not going to allow that, especially at home. Really, really tough one to pick when you throw the line into this. But for an outright tip, of course, I have to go the Panthers, Winnie, who have beaten the Knights 11 out of their past 12 games. The Panthers are undefeated at McDonald Jones Stadium since 2015. If you're looking for try scorers, the stats in this one do go towards the Knights wingers. Dom Young has 7 in his past 4. Greg Mars, who has 5 in his last 3. But as I said, I probably don't like those too much. I think Penrith will defend the Knights here pretty well. Anyone for a try scorer from Penrith that's screaming out to you?
Oh, I think Crichton's always decent value.
Yeah.
And, you know, can't go past Toho outside him probably either.
The thing I love about Crichton is too, he'll be matching up with Dane Gagai, who's someone who he versus in the Origin Arena in that same position. So you'd think he'd step up and have a big game. But yeah, it's even tough to find a try scorer in that one. Saturday closes on the Gold Coast at CBus Super Stadium. It's my boys, the Gold Coast Titans, hosting the Brisbane Broncos. The line is set at -9.5 in the Broncos' favour. For the Titans, we get Kieran Foran back, Toby Sexton out with a fractured wrist, actually. Played through that. He's a tough bugger. And Thomas McKaylee, the former West Tiger, makes his club debut via the bench for the Broncos. Corey Jensen starts as Thomas Flegler's been ruled out with that head injury. And Kobe Hetherington returns for his first game of 2023. Now, I know you've got a best bet here. You'd like my boys to keep this one relatively close.
I do. And they're off a morale-boosting win, as I said before, while they play Brisbane off their first loss of 2023. Not that that's really a positive, but Foran returning is timely for the Gold Coast, with Sexton fracturing his wrist in that match-winning performance. I think Flegler out for Brisbane can't be underestimated either, because he's been part of that kind of powerful middle punch that the Broncos have had. And I can't wait to watch the battle in the middle here. I mean, Tino against Payne Haas. Then you got a couple of former Maroons that would like to put their name back in the fold in Fotuaker, David Fifita, against current Maroons, Paddy Carrigan and Kurt Capewell. So forward battle is going to be fascinating. Going to go a long way to deciding this one. I think Brisbane wins because outside of the forwards, they've got the better outside backs. They've got the better halves and they've got a stronger bench. But then again, home advantage and, are those all those other advantages to Brisbane worth more than 10 points? I couldn't quite get there. I know that Brisbane will have the Titans will have the Brisbane's full attention because Brisbane just lost as an 18.5-point favourite. But I think they'll be happy to just come into Seabus and get the win. I don't know if they need to make a statement. And I don't know if they'll have it all their own way. So I took the plus 10.5 there, which was on Sportsbet.
You know, in footy, we talk about momentum and teams building up. And we sort of said for the Broncos last round that we both didn't think that would be the game where they fall off. But eventually it does happen to teams. Well, I can say if the Broncos had have won last round, I would have tipped the Titans out right here. I was really hoping they would actually win. So this was sort of the game where the Broncos get caught a little bit. Because they did get that sort of shock loss last round against the Raiders, unfortunately, I do think it'll wake them up a little bit. I think they beat us, unfortunately. But I will say that plus 9.5 line, I really do like, because I don't want to speak out of school, but this game means so much to Titans players. It means so much to the Titans community. The Broncos are a team that is so successful, the most successful team in Queensland. And of course, we are their little brother in every statistic area you want to look at. So I know the Titans will be absolutely up for this one. But yeah, just because the Broncos did lose last round under those shock circumstances, I probably can't see it happening 2 weeks in a row. The Titans have won their last four games at Seabus Super Stadium. So we are building a little bit of a nice record there at home, you would say. But the Broncos have beat us in the last three games. We talk about that sort of change of momentum when eventually it happens. They've won three in a row. Could that favour our best bet? Adam Reynolds, certainly this is an old stat. He's never lost at Seabus Super Stadium. He's 9 from 9. Don't know how much that plays into this game. I think that's just more of an interesting stat more than anything. But one bet that I will give out this round, I don't track my bets like Winnie, guys, so take mine with a grain of salt, of course. I love Dave Fifita to score. Anytime he plays the Broncos, he's got 3 tries in his last 4 against them. But I watch the Titans games very closely, as you can imagine as a fan. And I can promise you, every time Dave plays the Broncos, he is playing his best. You can see it means a little bit more to him. He wants to score against his former teammates and his former club. And some of his best games have been against the Broncos. So I haven't looked at the odds or anything, just purely from, analytical or stats perspective. I do like Dave to cross over for an anytime try, Winnie. You like it as well?
I'm having visions of the game last year where the Titans had 2 in the bin and a lead. And so the Broncos were certainties to score. I'm going to give a positive memory. The Broncos were I was thinking, how many tries is Brisbane going to score? 13 on 11. Brisbane dropped the ball. Fifita picked it up from dummy half 20 metres out and scored for an 11-man Titans against the Broncos. Unfortunately, there was not a happy ending for you, Clarky. I think you blew about a 16 or an 18-point lead. I think at one point you went for a short kickoff. That didn't work out too well. And I don't know if
you
in the end...
You cut out there. I can't remember how that game ended at all.
In all honesty, I can't remember if the Titans even covered this line. I have a feeling that they went from winning by about 16 or 18 to losing by about 10 or 12. But if they give a sight like they did last year without the capitulation at the end, that would work all right for us.
I'm going to be honest. I was watching that game with my neighbor in the spa and I physically threw up. That's how sick I felt after that game. I literally threw up. But yeah, let's go. Let's go to
did
someone
your neighbor
who loves
get out. Did they climb out of the spa?
I did get out of the spa and get to the toilet. I'm happy to confirm that for our viewers. But let's go to someone who loves the Titans just as much as I do. It's time we hear from Tristan, the CEO of TopSport. He's going to give us an exclusive look into the market, and we've got a video to play from Tristan now.
Hello, everyone. Tristan here from TopSport. Got another big, we say it every week now, we've got another big week of NRL action where we're still getting some topsy-turvy results. Those Dolphins continue to surprise, but they do come up against a very, very stern test in the Rabbitohs, obviously after the Rabbitohs put the cleaners through the Bulldogs there last weekend. That market has moved from 10.5 out to 11.5. So can the Dolphins cause another big upset? This would probably be, well, maybe not quite as big as the Roosters upset, but it'll be getting close there, and it keeps them in touch with the finals contention. We got some good games. We got some moves. The game that's probably been the biggest move is the Eels against the Bulldogs, but that's mainly on the back of the kick out news coming out today where the Eels are gone from 7.5 out to 9.5. I really thought the Bulldogs were a chance of that game up until that kick out news. They've been really, really unfortunate with injuries so far this season because they look like they're trying pretty hard. The other game that has seen a bit of move is the Titans have been backed against the Broncos, 11.5 into a flat 10, which is exciting for Titans fans. Obviously a massive derby game. There should be a massive crowd out there for all Titans supporters. So can the Broncos bounce back after their loss, or unexpected loss to the Raiders? The other game that has seen some movement is the Panthers. They've been back from 14.5 out to 15.5. The Knights been very gutsy, but again, they're down on troops again, and the Panthers look like they're really starting to go through their gears. So it should be a really, really good weekend of footy. Don't forget, we've got the NBA playoffs coming up shortly. The play-in tournament was today, and I believe Jacob and the crew are going to put together an extravaganza of some tips and information to get everyone geared up for the finals. So stay tuned for that. If you're having a bet on the weekend, good luck. Hope you're back a winner. And as always, gamble responsibly.
NBA finals, Winnie. You got anyone you go for in the NBA or anyone you're tipping there?
I might do, mate. I'll actually keep my powder dry. I'll tease ahead to tomorrow. If there are any NBA fans while we're at it, play-in games have been on, but the playoffs are awesome. The regular season can be hard to follow. You don't know who's in or out. But in the playoffs, everyone's trying as hard as they can. Everyone's playing, and there's less games, easy to track. It's all on the line. I did give an NBA, I don't want to call it a winner yet, but 325 I gave at the MVP a month ago. He's into $1.05 now. The voting is closed. And I'm doing the show tomorrow for anyone interested, if you are into the NBA, with Tala, who people will know who followed our season preview. He only gave out the longest futures winner in NBA history. He gave out Sacramento to win their division. It was paying over 200 to 1. So you want to hear what Tala has to say ahead of the playoffs, and I'll share some tips of my own as well. But that's tomorrow night live on the Tripod page.
Mate, that sounds absolutely unreal. I love the NBA finals. It's awesome that, you know, you can't sort of get that lucky win and scrape by. You genuinely have to be the better team. This is a tough one to pick here. We've got the Raiders and the Dragons opening Sunday at GIO Stadium. The line is set at -5.5 in the Raiders' favor. For the Raiders, we've got Jack Wyden and Tarpany back. Rapana is out with that head injury. So Nick Kotrick returns, actually. That's a big inclusion there. For the Dragons, Molo out suspended, Musgrove comes in, and Ravalawa out. I wasn't tracking an injury. I'm not sure if that's performance-related, Winnie. Tautau Moga comes onto the wing here. Home ground advantage for the Raiders. You think they'll get it done?
I do. I think there's a big lift for teams when they can get a win without key players, and then those key players come back in, which is obviously the case, as you said, with Tapane and Whiten. And they're going to want to also make amends for their last home performance where they got a shellacking at the hands of Penrith. And when you get your key players back and they're not back off injury as well, because obviously Whiten was suspended, Tapane, you know, he's not going to be fresh having a newborn, but physically he'll be ready to make a big impact. Whereas for the Dragons, we talk about a potential letdown spot where you pour everything in. That was a back and forth enthralling game against your boys in the Gold Coast. And ultimately, the Dragons nearly had it won and then let it slip. And then not only does that, you know, a bit deflating, but brings up all the questions about Griffin again because his future is uncertain. And that's going to be the case every week this year, especially after after a Dragons loss. I can only play Canberra. And it's funny you say -5.5 because it was -6.5 when I looked, but I checked again. It's down to 5.5. So whether that means some money has actually come on the +6.5 in the last, you know, half an hour is curious to me. I feel like 6.5 was probably a fair number. And what I was wondering as well was, you know, we had a near pick'em. Dragons were a slight underdog at the Gold Coast last week, and the Gold Coast was off the bye. And so now we move to Canberra. We'd have to justify that Canberra is a try better than the Titans, which I think is about fair, but not necessarily a great deal of value. So I could only tip the green team in this one, the green machine, I should say. But I feel like the Dragons continue to be a little bit underrated. Their roster's not probably as bad as that typical fan thinks it is.
Yeah, the Dragons have had a good roster for the last few years, but they probably have struggled for...
I wouldn't say good, but I'd say like when they don't have any key injuries, they might have the, I don't know, like the 12th or 11th best, like 17 in the all solid first graders. But people think about them like they're kind of bottom four caliber, and they're a little bit better than that.
The interesting stat I go to is the Dragons actually would have played finals last year with the points they had the year previous. They had more points than the Knights and Titans, who played finals in 2021. Of course, they did miss the eight, but, you know, maybe a little bit of bad luck. I'm not sure what that stat says there, but they were close. I'm going to go to the Raiders here. I thought this one was tough to split at home because I thought the Dragons were the better side against my Titans for most of that game, and they were probably unlucky to lose that in the end. You know, if Lomax kicks that goal, which wasn't necessarily a hard one, then the Titans probably aren't as, I guess, rejuvenated with the chance that we can go down and still win this game. They might drop their heads a little bit. So I thought the Dragons were the better side there. I look at the Raiders, and I think with Tarpany and Whiten back, they can only improve. There's just simply no way they can't go to another level there. And then I started to really use that as my way to split these sides. Then I got into the stats at GIO Stadium, which is, if you guys have ever been to Canberra, you start to know this time of year, it starts to become a genuine advantage because it is just absolutely horrible to even sit at that ground. I live in Queanbeyan, like right on the border. So
Are you talking about the cold though? Because I mean, yes. It's only April and it is an afternoon game. So, I mean, it could get a lot worse, I imagine.
It could, but I'm telling you, I've had the heater on every morning so far this week. It's been very, very cold and probably not a massive home advantage just yet. Absolutely agree with you yet, but maybe a slight consideration. But the stats say the Raiders have won 5 of their past 7 against the Dragons, where the Dragons have only won 2 out of 16 in Canberra. 2 out of 16 here at GIO Stadium.
It was the hoodoo, wasn't it?
It has to be because the Raiders have also won 6 of their past 8 at GIO Stadium. So once you introduce that home factor and really look at the stats of how these teams are performing at home, you really have to lean to the Raiders. Then you get into the stat that they've won 5 of their past 7. Not too many roster changes between these two sides in recent years. I've got to go the Raiders here. And I'm going to offer Jack White as a potential try scorer. He plays on the same side as Toby Sexton did. Toby Sexton, great player, but nowhere near the ball runner that Jackie Whiten is. I think he could score under similar circumstances. I don't have any stats to back that up, but I just have a bit of a gut feeling that Jack Whiten could cross over here against the Dragons. And then, of course, we close out the round at CommBank Stadium. The Eels host the Bulldogs. The line is set at -8.5 in the Eels' favour. As Tristan said there, that has been a little bit of a shift on the back of the Viliami Kikau pec rupture. For the Eels, big junior Barlow, JP is back. That puts Wirimu Greg onto the bench and Jack Murchie out. For the Doggies, Tevita Pengai Jr. and Raymond Faitala-Marin return. Kikau is out. And Braden Burns comes onto the wing there to replace the Fox. Eels looked really good in patches last week, Winnie, and they looked really bad in others. But you like the Eels in this one. You're confident they get it done over the Doggies.
I am, and that is terrible news, I've got to say, about Kikau. Talking about season-ending injuries, and this is, you know, depending on the severity and the surgery required, puts his season in doubt. And he didn't play the last 2 weeks because of that concussion suffered at training, but he would have been back this week, and he was named. So that's very unfortunate for the Bulldogs. Last thing they needed, of course, out of cars in the casualty ward. You did mention some of the troops that they do get back on deck, but again, like We'll see what a guy like Pangai Jr.'s got to offer in his first game of the year. Look, we did the recap. We talked about the Parramatta surviving that scare on Easter Monday and Moses being man of the match. But I feel like when I looked back at that game more closely, I actually realised it was even crazier that Parramatta even won that game, looking into the statistics of it. They were dominated in every facet of the game, but somehow, except for the scoreline. And I think it goes back to that defence being really good for the first hour and maybe a little bit of lack of execution for the Tigers. But ultimately, there's no other way to say it than the Eels got out of jail last week, and they're lucky not to be 1-5. And they get their key prop back as well, as you said. So it's actually a very similar scenario to Canberra. You get a team that it comes home and just scraped the win the week before, gets an influential big man back in the side, and they definitely are the better team in the matchup. And not only that, but they can't muck around because, like Canberra, Parramatta has a losing record at this point in the season. And, this is an important game to play for 80 because they've been able to do that in some other games this year where they did have the lead. And look, for the Dogs, they were blown away on Good Friday. I think that they'll bounce back from that to a degree. They've got the talent to turn it around, but I just don't really see how the Dogs win this game, to be honest. I mean, what's the recipe? Like, Burton would have to have the kicking, would have to outkick Moses. Reed Marnie would have to have an epic game against his former side. But I just think across the park with the troops that are still out for the Bulldogs and the fact that Parramatta still are the superior side, that they actually should win this one and go on with it. So I laid the -8. As Tristan said, that money's only come one way for Parramatta, and it's 8.5 or 9.5 in other places.
Well, I go straight to Clint Gutherson. If you remember last round, I was really keen on him to score. It was one of my key predictions for that Tigers game. I've got him with the take on Toppy again this week at $2.40 odds. That'll be available until at least 8 p.m. If you guys do have the Top Sport account. Really keen on Gutho to score in this one. Same reasons against the Tigers. He's a high-energy player. He's always up around the ball. Eels are going to have plenty of opportunities here, so I do think Gutho's a great option there at any time. But I will be honest, Winnie, when I first saw this game, only because this corresponding game cost me a big multi last year, I was licking my lips at another Doggies upset. I thought they could be up for this one here. Then I realized JP's back. The Bulldogs have the injury concerns, headlined by Viliami Kikau now out. So maybe I'm playing it safe here, but I do feel pretty confident in saying the Eels will win this and they will cover that 8.5-point line. You mentioned
I'm glad you raised that, actually. Sorry to interrupt, but the match last year, I do feel like not only did the Bulldogs get a big upset, they embarrassed Parramatta. A lot of people thought that was the moment the Parramatta season died, if you recall. It was like 32-0 at one stage in that game. And you're right, it was a Monday and everyone's multis rolled into power. I think we've already referenced that game earlier when we were talking about the Eels-Tigers. But I always look at those kind of shock results as advantage to the team that lost because they remember it and they might circle the calendar and make sure they don't make the same mistakes twice. Albeit I know that Parramatta went close to losing to the Tigers again, but they did get the right result last week as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, surely enough wake-up calls for the Eels and they do switch it on here. You referenced Reed Marnie. I actually think he's in for a huge game. You can't bet on any of these predictions, but I'm going to say 50-plus tackles and a try-assist at minimum for him. He is such a little bulldog, and against his former club, he is going to have so much energy. But as I say for the Bulldogs, the same issue remains where the Eels, if they shut down Burton's brilliance, Marnie can't create it all from dummy half, and Hayes Perham's not really a fullback that's going to create plays for you. He's going to get your meters and he's going to run hard, fair enough. And Kyle Flanagan, also not the most creative halfback. They have struggled to score at times this year, the Doggies. So I just think the Eels will really focus on limiting the attacking flair of Matt Burton. Reed Marnie will still have impact in the middle, but it just won't be enough for the Doggies down on troops. They do get a few back, but they are still down on troops. I think the Eels keep Burton quiet. I think they go on for a 13-plus victory. They have won 5 of their past 6 against the Doggies. The one they lost happened to be my multi. I think I've said that a few times. I'm not bitter about it. I am very bitter. The Bulldogs have only won 2 of their past 4 in the Combank as well, Winnie. A horrible, horrible record there. Only 2 of 14. Clint Gutherson, he's scored 9 tries in his past 14 against the Bulldogs. So that's another reason why I like him there. And I say him every week. Mike Acevo, 38 tries from 40 games at Combank. You can never take him out of the try-scoring options. He is simply a freak on that left edge. But yeah, we both love the Eels here, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm not the best at try-scorer tips. I know people love them, and here and there I build them in, and I always try and build them in off my handicap because if I can pick the right team to succeed, better chance of try-scorers. And that's why I narrow down your shortlist. You only get to pick try-scorers from teams that I think will do well, so that's a good start. Me personally, I don't know if it's trying to be unconventional or, you know, go against the grain. I like to try and pick try scorers who haven't scored recently, didn't score last week. But then again, there is something to be said for riding the hot hand, because obviously my observation is the two that you've picked this week in Gutho and Graham, they did both score last week. Part of me wish we were on them last week. But you did advise in Gutho. But because you didn't actually give an official one last week, as we said on the recap, you didn't love the option, so you didn't play it, and none of them scored. So that's just as well. You're getting best odds in the market for Graham and Gutho. You actually can multi them together. So you can take the pair and get over $6 odds if you think Graham into Gutho. You know, so there's a few things you can do with that, guys, if you like Clarkie's tip. In terms of the stats, he's dead square on units staked. He has the same units returned. So that's not bad, because try-scorer markets are not easy to beat. They're in the bookies' favour generally.
Yeah, they are. You know, the I do the stat with WikiAI every week for the top 10 most likely. At times, like Alex Johnson against like the Bulldogs can be like as low as 56%, which does sum up how tough it can be to get try-scorers sometimes. Now, I know you had a special NBA announcement. Anything further to add on what you touched on earlier?
No, that's 5 p.m. live tomorrow on the Tripod Show, or else it'll be in the Tripod podcast feed, just like a one-off special for the NBA playoffs.
Mate, absolutely love it. I hope that everyone tuned in with us tonight. Love the preview show. Of course, we'll be back on Sunday after that final game to recap all the best bets and all the action from the NRL round. Outside of that, have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll chat footy throughout the weekend. Thanks for being here. Thanks, guys.
Lego.